A reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. The word of the Lord. I'd like to invite the children to come forward. We've had the challenge and the privilege of digging deeper into scriptures or into phrases that are common and sometimes misunderstood or misused in a lot of ways. And today's is everything happens for a reason. And you'll notice that that's not directly from scripture. There's not a place that it says that directly, but we are reading some that kind of try to get at where that comes from in our faith and our theology. And it's a tricky one. I mean, I've said it. I've been with people who are in the midst of despair and trying to come up with reason for that despair. But I'm also uncomfortable with it because it just gives too much power to the terrible things. It gives too much power to trying to gloss over them or make something that is ugly, beautiful somehow, or just not admitting that some things just stink and just are. And I know why we do it. Our brains, you know, we're wired for story. And our brains, all day long, we are part of our own story, our own narrative of who we are in relationship to other people, in our world, in our school, in our work, in our grocery stores, and who we are in relationship to God as well. And so our brains want all of that to have meaning and make sense. And so when we don't have all the facts or we can't totally understand something, we just make it up. Our brains just fill in those holes because it's a way to feel settled and in control of circumstances. And so that's where we can get stuck in the why, right? Why did I get sick? Why is my best friend unemployed right now? Why does my dad have cancer? Why does my grandma not know who I am anymore? Why did the tornado come through that neighborhood? Why is it so hard for me to get up and go into that school building? Why do these bad things happen? Why do they happen to good people? And so the whys serve a purpose, okay? So they give us this distraction, like, so if we can start figuring out a reason why, then we aren't stuck in feeling the full emotion of outrage or sadness or whatever pain is there. But the difficult thing is that the whys don't relieve that pain forever. The whys distract us for a while, maybe take us on a tangent, but we can get totally stuck in the why for a really long time, and the whys always leave us in pain. I have a good friend whose child died 13 years ago, and she was reflecting on this and said, you know, eventually I had to stop asking why. There's still not an answer to that question 13 years later. Eventually, I had to stop asking why and change my question to how. How can I get up tomorrow morning? How can I continue on with the life that I've been given? How am I going to choose to live now? This is where our scriptures and God meet us, in this very place, and invite us into a relationship of being with God. The writer of Ecclesiastes is describing reality in a poetic way, giving us the extremes, you know, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time for war, a time for peace, because in those extremes is God, and then in all those gaps and holes in the middle is where God fills in. That story that we live in, well, God's story is a part of that reality with us. Psalm 139 assures us that God has known you since the time you were created, and all the days of your life is with you and knows them and loves you in them and because of them. God's story is one of coming as a baby and dwelling with us, living here with us on earth, and then rising from the tomb. That empty tomb that's full of whys, why did that happen? But sends us out and forth in the how. How can I live now in this promise of the story of God that's a part of my story? So what does that look like, really? Well, stories might be the best way to think about that. It can look like someone who has cancer living life to the fullest every single day and embracing what they can. It looks like children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren going over and over to visit the grandma who doesn't know who they are, to live the stories, to listen to the stories over and over again, even though it's heartbreaking. It's like this story I read this week about a book clerk who, she was, you know, doing her job at her cashier selling books, and a woman came in who was very warm and friendly and talkative and just kind of finding things to buy, and not just books, but the chocolates and things like that. And then noticed, as she was checking out, the shopper noticed a man behind her, a young man, whose arms were piled with books. And he looked, you know, worried. They were textbooks for school. So he kind of had maybe a stressed out, worried look on his face. And she said, you just put your books up here. I'm buying those today. And of course, he was totally bewildered and said, oh, you don't have to do that. And she just took them and put them on the counter and then said, you look like you need some chocolate. So she added some candy to those books and then sent him on his way. Bought it all, sent him on his way. And the clerk said, that was amazing. You just spent a lot of money on a total stranger. And she said, you know, my son is a meth addict and homeless and on the street, and I can't do anything for him right now, but I saw that young man and I remembered where my hope is, and I remembered that I can live and do something for him now. She changed her question from the why to the how. Or this community. You may remember almost 3 years ago, there was a flood. Remember that? It's incredible. It's been 3 years. And on the day of the flood, we had a wedding. A young couple new to our congregation was here and getting married. And the majority of their guests could not get here, only the handful of family members. And so, of course, they were disappointed and sad about this, but they didn't stay there. They let us call you and text you and run around the neighborhood and invite guests. And 50 of you showed up on like an hour's notice and brought presents and cards and sat and waited for the dress to arrive from Greeley, slightly illegally. And and it was beautiful. And then they turned around at the end of their ceremony and invited the people who gathered to come and have food and drink and dancing at their reception. And they continued to live as a community. That happened in the middle of really horrible and, as it turned out, devastating circumstances. But that love and that welcome all came from a place centered on knowing that God is good and God's existence matters. And as if we read further in Romans, it says God works all things together for good. according to God's purposes. And this isn't some sort of, you know, I don't know, heaven insurance policy that if you pay in enough faith, nothing bad's ever going to happen to you. But it's a promise that if we choose to remember that God is good and God's existence matters and that the Spirit intercedes and helps us to create that meaning out of whatever place we are in, we can respond to all things from a place of love, from a place of mercy and goodness. And it may not change, it will not change our circumstances, but it will be a part now of how we live out our story as we are blessed and loved by God. All of these things invite us to sit and dwell with God, to allow God to be in our extremes and in the gaps, all mixed up in the middle. And that God is there, that we dwell, and that we can be still and know that God is. So wherever you sit right here today, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, I invite you into this time of song to sing "Be Still" and to know that God is with you right where you are. So let's sing together. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am. Be still and know. Be Amen.